Hey, this is Josh Keaton, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Why are all those guys talking to Sean's girlfriend?
Well, Sean and Jennifer broke up this morning. Look at her. She's already on the prowl.
Well, how's Sean taking it?
Are you kidding? Sean is Sean. You can't keep Sean down. Get up, Sean.
Welcome to episode 8 of Podcaster Meets World, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, TF Joe and Mike. Joining me, as always, Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Yo.
Yo. Today we are going to talk about the second half of Boy Meets World Season 4, which includes episodes 11 through 22. So we stopped at episode 10 in part 1 because of the Wikipedia, IMDb, Disney Plus debacle. And I blame Disney Plus. I do not blame Wikipedia and IMDb. I am going by, for season 4 of Boy Meets World, I am going by what is listed on Wikipedia. Episode 10 was Turkey Day, which is what we ended on. That aired November 22nd, 1996. Episode 11 was An Affair to Forget, which aired November 29th. So Easy Street is December 13th.
Yep.
So on Disney Plus, if you find folks are watching Boy Meets World, you will see Easy Street before An Affair to Forget. Honestly, it doesn't really matter because the episodes don't connect to each other. But when I'm doing a podcast, I want to make sure that every piece of information that I have is the correct air date information.
Yep.
And Disney Plus, you done fucked up.
Well, it is Disney Plus, so.
I mean, Disney Plus
is... Well, Hulu had it right, so.
Yes, but it's not on Hulu anymore. Or is it?
I don't know. Probably not.
I don't think so. No, it's when it switched over to Disney Plus, I'm pretty sure it's not on. Because, I mean, it would be funny If it was on Hulu, but I don't think it is. No. I just punched in Boy Meets and it pops up Disney Channel's channel on Hulu, but it doesn't. Yeah, no. So anyway, season 4, part 2. There is a lot to unpack here, and because of what's happened to me since November of 2021 with Karen passing away, I have a lot to say about the last half of these episodes here. I know life happens, folks, with podcasting, but I am looking at this podcast's history and I'm like, holy crap, how did that happen? We recorded episode 0, well, we released episode 0 in 2016. We didn't record and release episode 1 until 2018, and then between episode 3 and 4, it was from 2018 to 2021, and now we're on track to, you know, hopefully finish this thing out and whatever, because I'm having fun, even though I'm crying my eyes out watching these damn shows. I'm having fun going back to this show and just paying attention to what's going on and actually looking at these circumstances of these, you know, children, teenagers, young adults growing up, because that's the whole point of the show. Corey starts out as a, you know, 11-year-old boy, and he ends up, you know, in college and what adulthood and marriage and parenting and all that. So it's very interesting seeing this. And I will say that this second half of this season, I did not dislike Eric as much as I used to. I don't hate Eric Matthews, the older brother. As a character, he was a little annoying in the beginning, but that's because he's kind of supposed to be.
Hope I'm not getting mixed signals here. Because I'd hate to think the fact that you're a few years older than me is putting you off. I mean, what is age really?
Just shut up, you're winning.
Well, in that case, what's your tomorrow look like?
Ooh, 3 days in a row. Oh, no, that's starting to sound kind of serious. I mean, how well do we know each other, really?
Okay, well, let's start with me. Nope, that's pretty much it. Now, tell me about yourself. I want to know everything.
Everything?
Yeah, everything.
Okay. Why don't we go back to my place?
Yay.
I just feel like because he's growing up and the rest of them are growing up, that a lot of the... And yes, he goes on a really weird journey later in seasons 5, 6, and 7, but he's not the total, like, Noogie's older brother type thing in this second half of the season.
True.
The other thing is, and I find this absolutely interesting, I listened to Christy Carlson Romano, who was Kim, the voice of Kim Possible. She was also Ren Stevens in the Even Stevens show. She has launched, like, I don't know, 4 podcasts, 3 podcasts,
whatever. Well, she did a video series for a while, and then she's doing a podcast now.
Yeah, now she's doing...
various ones.
Yeah, she has 3, I believe. 2 that I do listen to, Vulnerable and I Hear Voices. So, and I think there's another one. I forget what it is. But anyway, Vulnerable, the first one that they did, or one of the first ones they did, was with Will Friedle.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, Will Friedle is the youngest child in his family. I find that absolutely amazing that the youngest child in his own family can play an older brother.
Well, to be fair,
younger
brothers are more goofy than the older brothers. So he plays the part well.
Absolutely. I'm not trying to be negative when I say this. I'm just saying when he's on the podcast that I listened to, when he said that, I was like, oh really? You were the youngest in your family? That's amazing. That just goes to his acting, like, you know. And hey, I mean, his voice acting career skyrocketed. I mean, he landed Batman as his first role, and then from Batman he went to Ron Stoppable and Kim Possible. It's like, holy crap, dude, you just hit superstardom on your first try. That's amazing. All right, what did you think of An Affair to Forget? This is the one where Sean is in shock when his girlfriend Jennifer dumps him to try to help him. Corey starts bad-mouthing her to Sean, but when Jennifer finds out about this, she agrees to make up with Sean as long as he and Corey end their friendship.
She dumped me. She dumped me good.
I'd be willing to give it another try. Just as long as you're, not mad at Corey.
No, Sean. He's your best friend. How could I ever come between you and your best friend?
Yeah, I remember watching this the first time around, and then I watched it again the other day, and I was like, oh, I remember this very, very well. Especially the portions where, you know, like they're doing the sneak phone calls, or they're doing the sneak in the library, and, you know, they're meeting up at Chubby's, and then... You know, Topanga's manipulations towards the end, which is entertaining of in and of itself. Yeah. I don't know. I really liked it. I felt like it was a strong storyline and showed that the dynamic of those two just being that tight was an unbreakable bond that even Topanga wouldn't try to get between. But she explained, you know, if they were really that, you know, good for you, they would allow you to have that friendship.
Yeah, exactly. And I find this absolutely amazing that the actress that plays Jennifer would go on to play her in Girl Meets World as Mrs. Minkus.
Which is funny. I knew she was familiar. I couldn't track that.
I mean, I knew because I remember when I was watching Girl Meets World on Disney Channel when it was originally airing, and she's got an amazing career for her. She started out in several episodes of As the World Turns. She was in an episode of Law and Order. She was in an episode of Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. She was on Star Trek Voyager as Malia in the episode Favorite Son from 1997. She was in Just Shoot Me for an episode. She was in several episodes of Unhappily Ever After, Boy Meets World as Jennifer Bassett.
And so she's a day player.
She's one of those ones that
pops up in everything, but she plays a part that doesn't just fade into the background necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. She was in two episodes of Pacific Blue. Pacific Blue was the USA Network series where it was bike cops. So bicycle cops on the beach. I remember Pacific Blue. I loved Pacific Blue. And then obviously, you know, she came back as Jennifer Minkus in Girl Meets World. She was also in Burn Notice and other things, and I just remember that of seeing that, and I was like, hey, is that really the same girl that played Jennifer all those years ago?
Well, the funny thing about Girl Meets World, and we'll get there eventually, is the actors that they pulled back, they didn't skimp on that. They brought everyone back.
Oh, no. Yeah.
There was so many, like, even as far as, and I don't know, I can't remember if it's this season or not. I'm pretty sure it is, but it's in this season. I remember watching it. I kind of chain watched. Anyways, Eric, you know, and his girlfriend that had the son.
Well, that's the interesting thing. I'm glad you brought that up now. The episode in this season, in season four, called Uncle Daddy.
Rye? Ryan?
Where'd he go?
The baby's gone? I yelled at him. I can't believe I yelled at him.
Eric, it's fine. He's in bed, he's sleeping, it's over.
I flipped out. Found him sitting outside in the curb and I started screaming at him. I took my eye off him for 1 minute. 1 minute. And anything could have happened. How do you do this every day?
I do it because I love him. And because he's my son. Eric, you're the one with the choice here.
You know, I was with him all day. I just wanted a minute to myself. And he got so upset.
Yeah, but he's not upset at you. He's upset at not having a full-time father. Every minute of every day, you know, to make up for what he lost.
He needs so much.
Yeah, he does. Eric, you are going to be such a great dad. But when you're ready. Just because I'm a mom doesn't mean that you have to be a dad.
Kelly, I'm not looking to get out of this.
I know that, Eric. But listen to me. You still have so many options available to you in your life. Take advantage of them. Eric, you know I'm right.
You're dumping me.
No. I just think that the fair thing would be to get out of this before anybody gets too attached.
I see. I let you down.
No. No, Eric, the only way you could have let me down is if you had stuck around just to be a nice guy. You wouldn't have been happy, neither would we.
Kelly, I'm not looking to get out of this.
You know where we live.
I thought that was the Tommy episode. It's not.
I thought it was too, but yeah, evidently I'm an idiot. So
No. No, you're not an idiot because I was like, ooh. And then I was like, ooh, wait a minute. This is Eric. This is Eric with the girl. This is Eric with Tom. And then it's Ryan and Kelly. And oh my God, and I'm glad we kind of skipped to this. I mean, we'll go over the other episodes as well, but, you know, leading, but this is episode 18 out of the final.
They 12. Look similar. That's what it is.
So, yeah, so here's the thing, okay? So I've been researching this all day to make sure I had this right. So the lady that plays Kelly is Brittany Powell. I have had a crush on this actress since 1993 when I was 13 years old and I saw the movie Airborne. And I'm not sure if we ever covered it back on MWire or anything, but basically Airborne stars Shane McDermott, Seth Green, Brittany Powell, Chris Conrad, Edie McClurg, Patrick Thomas O'Brien, Jack Black, all these people that were like on the rise of fame. And it's basically about this surfer dude who ends up having to live in Cincinnati because his parents go to Australia for some weird thing. But she was the girl crush in Cincinnati in that. And then she was in, I just know this by memory. I don't even need to look this up. She was the girlfriend of Stephen Baldwin's character in 1997's Fled. It was him. It was Stephen Baldwin and Lawrence Fishburne. So seeing her in this, I'm like, wait a minute. I know that voice. I know that face. I know that girl. Where do I know that girl from? And then her kid, the child actor that plays her kid. Dude, do you know who that is? Do you know where that kid's from?
All the Disney movies.
Well, yes, but number one movie that he's from, he was Max from Liar Liar. He was Jim Carrey's kid. I was like, my brain was on fire and exploding, realizing like, holy crap, I can tie all the other stuff that we love into Boy Meets World. This is amazing.
It's like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Except it has nothing to fucking do with Kevin Bacon.
Although I'm sure somebody's tied to him.
Probably. I don't know. But no, I thought the Uncle Daddy episode. So Tommy is later. Tommy must be season 5 or season 6 because.
Yeah, so I looked that up.
Okay.
Real quick. He shows up in the episode. It's the Santa's Little Helpers.
Okay.
And then his last episode is Can I Cheer Help to Cheer You? In Boy Meets World. Then he comes back in Girl Meets World and Girl Meets Mr. Squirrels Goes to Washington.
Yep. I remember that. Yeah.
But yeah, the episode of Santa's Little Helpers is in season 6. And Can I Cheer You or Help to Cheer You is in season 6.
Okay.
So one is Tommy episode 11, one is episode 18.
Okay. So Tommy comes in at season 6. Okay. Well, that's good to know. But literally, I'm like, Uncle Daddy, that sounds familiar. And then I saw, as I'm watching the episode, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. This is where the, I'm like, wait, whoop, breaks. Nope, that's not Tommy, that's Ryan. Oh, I love this show.
I love the continuity of it all.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's funny how they bring back all the actors later on and how they do the flashbacks and how they, you know, they keep the continuity going, even though sadly it got canceled.
Yeah.
I still, there's always like something to learn from the show, which is awesome.
Absolutely. It's the Boy Meets World and later Girl Meets World. But since we're in Boy Meets World now, it really is the ultimate family television show. I don't ever really, this is Optimus Solo's thing of putting in the of all time category, and that's fine. Optimus Solo can be that way and do that way. I don't normally do that, but
I think this one does fall into that
I will say Boy Meets World is the ultimate family television series of all time because of every like I said, it starts when Corey's like 10 or 11 in season 1, season 2, season 3, whatever, he grows up, 14, 15, 16. That's the other thing with this. When he turns 16 and gets his permit and whatever. Now, how big of a thing was that with you and your mom or dad?
I had the learner's permit to begin with, so I couldn't drive solo.
Right.
So I had to have somebody with me until I got older. And then I think he had to have so many hours clocked to get a drive independent, but you weren't fully licensed. And then at 18, I got my license. But the I don't know. I was actually terrified to drive. I had practice with driving. However, I freaked on a couple of occasions because I almost got in an accident. And later on, I did get in an accident, but I had my license by then. But I didn't have enough friends to go to places. So like when I got my license, I think I got my license at 17. And
okay,
I did drive friends my senior year of school.
Okay.
To like the... There was like a skill center type thing that you had to drive off campus to go to that was across town. And I drove well enough to do that. But I also drove like a complete moron.
Okay.
To the point Mary just hated my friends at that time. So,
okay.
So in a lot of ways, I got to experience what Corey did in this episode.
Ellen, aren't you at the store?
Oh, I had Eric open the store. I got big plans today.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, it's Corey Day. I'm going to take him down to DMV, watch him take his driver's test, and off to Woody's Roadhouse for a lethal dose of home fries, steak, and eggs.
Just like you did with Eric.
Mm-hmm. My dad did with me. A Matthews Men's License Day tradition. And wash the car so it'll look good in the picture I'm going to take after he passes his test.
Does Corey know about these plans, honey?
Mm-mm. Matthews Men tradition. Mm. You don't have to tell him. It's in the jeans.
Corey's driving a car!
Without a license?
Hey, I passed my driver's test. I got my license. Well, my temp license anyway. See?
Mm, that's great. Ellen, isn't that great?
Yeah, that's great, Cor. Happy birthday. Yeah, that's really great.
Mom, it's just me, or were they happier for me down at the DMV?
Actually, Corey, your dad's a little let down. I mean, he kind of thought you might want to do this with him.
He did?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he never said anything. We didn't have anything planned.
Yes. So, season 4, episode 14, Wheels. Alan finds himself at a crossroads when Corey arrived with a new driver's license on his 16th birthday. Would rather celebrate the event on a road trip with Sean and Topanga instead of with it. So, Alan had this whole father-son thing that he did with the first child, and
without actually telling the child that
but that's also how parents think. Parents assume that their children realize that, oh, this is tradition, we need to stay in. Oh man, Alan in this second half of this season, I have never loved Alan Matthews more as a father/father figure character than ever before.
Because he actually does something. Like he's like putting his foot down, he's bailing him out, he's giving him life lessons, and you know, I loved all that.
Yeah. And the thing about Wheels, episode 14 of season 4, is, you know, like I said, Corey, you know, wants to go with his friends and drive with his friends, and it's so important that he gives his friends rides and whatever, and they want to go on this road trip. And they end up in this, like, one-horse town with this judge who is played by Dan Loria from Wonder Years.
He kind of reminds me of, like, a mob boss more than anything else. Like
He is, but yes, I agree with that, but...
Now, do you want a balloon or do you want to go to jail, you know?
Yeah. I loved him as the judge, and I have never been the biggest fan of the TV show The Wonder Years, the original show.
But it's kind of funny because his brother is in it.
Yeah, Fred Savage, yeah. Yes. And that's why I love this, because Dan Loria plays Fred Savage's father in Wonder Years. So seeing him here is like, holy crap, I absolutely love this. And what I love about this episode is that Dan Loria as Judge Lamb asks Alan a question, and Alan gives this amazing fatherly answer and, you know, impresses the judge and says, okay, well...
All rise! The court of Judge Hubert Lamb is now in session.
Judge Lamb? I think I'll take my chances with Judge Lamb.
Bring him up here.
How bad is it, George?
Well, I just had a phone call from Corey.
Is he all right?
No, he's fine. It's nothing like that.
Good. Good.
He's on trial.
Tell you what I'm gonna do, son. Gonna drop all the charges right now if you'll take this quarter and go to that phone there and call your dad and tell him you were wrong.
No.
Corey.
I'm sorry. I don't believe I'm wrong.
But I don't believe I'm wrong either, Corey.
You didn't have to come here, Dad.
George Feeney told me you called. You should have called me.
Why? So you could come to the rescue again, prove once again what a little helpless kid I am?
Roy, you are my son. You will always be my son, whether you're 6 or you're 60, and your problem is my problem. Now, I'm always going to be there for you. Now, that is never going
to
change.
I just want you to treat me as someone who can handle his own problems, Dad. I want you to treat me like an adult.
All right, I've heard enough. This court is ready to pronounce sentence. Corey Matthews and Corey Matthews' father, approach the bench. I hereby sentence you to 2 years.
What?
Today is your 16th birthday, son. That means you have 2 years more of being a kid. Now, I know that seems like hard labor when you have a license in your hand, but from what I can surmise of your home life, you're luckier, Corey, than most who appear before me. And you, Dad, I sentence you to take those 2 years and cherish them. Because they go by too fast.
Yes, they do, don't they?
Mm. It's a speed trap.
I just absolutely loved it because for me, the reason why I asked you about the whole rite of passage of getting your license.
Yeah.
Being born brain damaged and with cerebral palsy, the only thing I could ever drive is a big wheel when I was a kid. And I crashed my Knight Rider big wheel plenty of times more than I actually drove the damn thing. Between the cerebral palsy and my optic atrophy with nystigmatism in my eyes, even with – if I wore glasses, I would only have 20/60 correction, which is good. But my problem is attention. You have to pay attention to so many things driving.
Oh yeah.
And I do not have I have never had an attention span that is multitasking. So I don't drive. I've never driven. I think I maybe did a couple of donuts in a parking lot once in 1994.
Oh, it's fun.
Or something. Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, for me, it was net like so they have the whole world, but let's just say the United States. There's the American dream. There's supposed to be this trajectory that every human takes. You're born. You're a kid. You have fun. You go to school. You grow up. You go to college. You get a job. You get a car. You find a wife. You have kids. You get a house. You know, there's this whole thing. And my life never went that – like my life has never had a linear path. Like right now I have to find a whole new path and a whole new thing that, you know, Karen is no longer here anymore kind of thing. So it's like my life has been more about start, go real fast, slam on the brakes, and then start over. But watching this show and seeing this through the characters' eyes and even through the actors and actresses, like, you know, just I just absolutely love that. And it's just so good. This second half of this season also includes episode 15, Chick Like Me.
Ugh.
You didn't like this one, did you?
Nah, not really.
I remember
watching it the first time and I thought it was interesting both, but I, yeah.
To research his book, Black Like Me, author John Griffin, a white man, had his skin pigment temporarily darkened so that he could experience life through the perspective of a black man.
Wouldn't it have been easier to just ask?
Well, there was such distrust between the races that Griffin felt that only by becoming black could he begin to understand the horrors of segregation.
Corey, that's your next story.
What?
To understand what girls are talking about, you experience the world from a girl's point of view by becoming a girl.
That's crazy talk.
No. You dress up like a girl and write about it. Chick Like Me.
I liked this because I wonder how people will see this now. Because this was an episode that aired, and I don't know when it was. I don't know. The production order says B731, so I don't know what the hell that means. But it aired January 31st, 1997. They talk about the war between the sexes starts heating up at John Adams High when the boys realize the girls expect different things when out on a date. When it is suggested to Corey that his school newspaper column is a tad boring, Sean gives him a story idea on dating and sexual harassment based on the book they're reading in Mr. Feeney's class, Black Like Me. And for those that don't know about Black Like Me, go look it up. I'll put a link in the show notes.
It's basically somebody does blackface and tries to live through the you know.
Yeah, but they were doing it to try to understand the other culture. And I understand that, and I like that, and I just, with everything that goes on nowadays and all of these other things, and I don't want to be
insensitive
here, but watching this again, I was like, I wonder what people who identify as a different gender now would say about this episode. Because this episode is basically taking Corey and Sean and putting them, dressing them and making them female to realize how girls feel when guys ask them out or when guys do the things that guys do kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good lesson. I think it's an interesting one. It's a tad uncomfortable, but that's the point. Like when they were asking about what Sean wanted to name himself when he was a girl, like the fact that he's even thought of this, like it's just, for me, it wasn't so uncomfortable watching it. It was more enlightening watching it now versus watching it when it first came out, because it was more about having Corey and Sean see how the other, you know, just like with Black Like Me, see how the other side feels. Well, now it's the same thing, but I guess I'm more empathetic towards it because I have a few friends who identify the way they identify, and that's, if that makes them happy, if that's what they want to do, that's their choice. I'll support it. That's fine. Doesn't matter to me.
So, Sean, how does it feel to be wearing pantyhose?
Not Sean.
No, you're right.
Yeah, he needs a girl's name.
Okay, this is easy. How about Janet?
No, not Janet.
What possible difference could it make?
Corey, you've thought about this before, haven't you?
A little.
And what name have you thought about?
Well, Veronica.
Veronica is a lovely name.
Good morning, Miss Lawrence, Mr. Matthews, Mr. Hunter.
Again, going to the whole thing of repeating myself of saying that this show tackles issues that no other show was really tackling at the time.
True.
And then close to the end of the season, we have A Long Walk to Pittsburgh, which is a two-parter. This is where Topanga's family moves to Pittsburgh. And I actually did this. I went onto Google Maps just to get the information. From Philadelphia to Pittsburgh, it's like a 5-hour drive between. So, yeah, that would not that's not the longest of long-distance relationships, but still, that 5 hours both ways, that's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a long way. I like this. Again, I think it shows that Corey and Topanga, even though they are quote unquote forever, it shows their struggles to get to the forever part. And this is just one of the first ones. And I mean, introducing Aunt Prue, wow, with Olivia Hussey as Aunt Prudence. I was like, holy crap, that's amazing. And then, I don't know, the season feels like so we had that, and then after that we have, so we had all that emotion, and, you know, and in that two-parter, you know, you have Amy and Alan, you know, saying about true love and all that, and will they or won't they, or will they last or won't they last, and how they need to experience more, and Corey's like, no. She's been my wife since we were 6 months old. She's going to be my wife for the next, you know, 16 years after this kind of thing, which I like his determination. And I like Topanga's, I don't want to say it's hesitancy, but it's more of, this is what my parents are doing. We are a family and our family is moving. I don't have a choice in this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's hard and that's difficult. And
well, what's oddly familiar about that for me is, yeah, we weren't teenagers or anything, but the reason why my wife and I moved in together originally was because her parents said they were going to move to Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
And it was either we moved in together right then, or I chanced not seeing her again.
Yeah.
So obviously we chose option A.
Right.
And then they didn't move.
Right.
So, which I've come to realize is par for the course now, but regardless.
Yeah.
It was very real. And then, you know, I mean, that's, I would have had the same thoughts, you know, as what happened in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so between my life trajectory and your life trajectory, and we've known each other 14 years now, there are times that I'm watching this show that I see either you're Corey or I'm Sean or vice versa, because everything that the two of them go through, they go through it together, but they still are on such different paths.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then the season kind of, I don't, from 19 to 22, it kind of, it's not a bump in the road, but it's not a, to, and I know, I get it. This is supposed to be a weekly show. Yes, it does have continuity, obviously, but
it does have some one-offs.
Yeah, it does have like quiz show. I like the lessons that were taught in Quiz Show, but Quiz Show could have been anywhere else in this season, I think.
Yeah.
Other than where it is. And Security Guy, I get it. Eric needed to be fired. That's great, sort of, because it puts him on the path of getting, you know, doing the SATs over again and all that. That's awesome. And that's awesome that he went through that as a character to get an 1120 on his SATs and do so well. But at the same time, it was like, this is the next episode.
Yeah. Yeah, the security guard one, I didn't have a big issue with, because it foreshadowed multiple things. One of them is Eric just being completely like out of his depth.
Yeah.
Which to some degree kind of continues to happen for the remainder of the series and the next.
Yeah.
He slowly degrades. Yes, he's intelligent. Yes, he is fully capable, but it's hidden behind a doofus mask of stupidity.
Yes.
And but I almost feel like it's a safeguard that he's put up like a wall and to protect himself, which, you know, he does get a little bit frank with like Topanga in later seasons where he's acting like a total idiot, but can turn it off when he's with her. And it's nice to see that, you know, his parents fired him and made him kind of try and do something, even though he went the other way. And just seeing someone else teaching him a lesson.
Yeah.
Aside from Feeny, even though Feeny does too.
Right. Yep. And then we have Cult Fiction. Cult Fiction. And this is sad to me because I know they're going on to college and there's no way that all the characters can follow them to college. But Cult Fiction is the final appearance of Anthony Tyler Quinn as Jonathan Turner.
George, what is it?
Jonathan Turner. He's been in a motorcycle accident.
Oh, no.
Is he okay?
No, he isn't. Alan, would you give me a lift down to the hospital?
We'll all go.
Come on, Tom.
I'll meet you guys there.
What do you mean?
I'll meet you guys there.
How's Mr. Turner?
And the doctors are with him. We're waiting to hear.
Where's Sean?
I have no clue.
Well, Mr. Turner and Sean are like brothers. How could he not be here?
I don't know. Sean. Mr. Mack.
Sean thought I could be of some help. Hello, I'm Philip Mack. Feeny.
Mac, you don't belong here.
One of my children invited me, and as always, I'm here for him. As well as any other child who calls for me.
I want to come back.
No.
What is he doing here?
Corey, I couldn't face this alone.
Okay, first of all, we're here. Okay, and second of all, I am beginning to see that you are more alone than I ever knew.
What does that mean?
I just want you to know that I forgive you for trying to shut us down.
You forgive me?
Easy, George. Come on, he's just trying to get a rise out of you. Look, you're not dealing with gullible little kids here now, buddy. Now, you brought Sean down. Thanks. Now, why don't you just take a hike back to Conland?
Now, do you see how judgmental these
people are? No, listen. You see. A judgment I made a long time ago is that Sean Hunter is the best friend that my kid ever had. And I will kill to protect Sean Hunter from people like you.
Alan, he would love a lawsuit.
I think there's a lot of anger here. And I don't feel that this is a healthy environment for Sean.
Well, I really
don't. Look, I know you don't respect my philosophy, but for kids who feel lost and have an emptiness in their lives, I'm here to give them a sense of belonging.
You can't have Sean.
What a journey.
Yeah, and I was sad to see his character go, to be honest. I really liked his character.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't get me wrong, Philip Mack played a cult guy very well. And gotta love Feeny.
Obviously, yeah.
Feeny always comes to those kids' rescue.
Oh, yeah. And this whole thing is, I remember Cult Fiction, but I don't remember Cult Fiction because by the time this April 25th of 97, I don't think I was watching this show. I heard about this episode because everybody knows about Mr. Turner's motorcycle accident.
I remember watching it and I was in shock. Like watching it because I was like, really? They're going to do that to Turner? Because he was one of my favorite characters when I got into the, you know, later seasons. I mean, yeah, they did away with the other teacher that was the AV teacher, which I was bummed about because I loved the dynamic that he and Turner had. And then they got rid of Jonathan and I was bummed out because, I mean, yes, I love Feeny and Feeny definitely is a stronger role model and stronger help with everything there, but I really wanted his character to continue, and so it was kind of it kind of sucked that he was gone.
Yeah, but the thing about Cult Fiction is that Sean is at another crossroads.
Yep, and he's continuously going through a crossroads through the entire series and the next.
Corey, I can't be in here. This is too intense.
For all of us, Sean. But this is life, and this is what's really happening right now.
I need Mr. Mack.
No, he can't help you with this. Sean, what is the matter with you?
I don't know, but I can't look at him like this. Corey, come on, let me go.
No.
Corey, let me go!
Sean! This is a hug, okay? This is a hug. And this is when you hug somebody, when you care about them, and then you want them to know that. Now, you cannot leave here, do you hear me? Turner took care of you. He loves you. And you love him. Is that real? Or are Mr. Mack and the center real? You decide, but you cannot go. We can go.
John, how could you be in here? How could you screw up on your bike? I have never seen you screw up on anything. I'm the screw up, remember? Come on, you remember. Don't do this to me, John. I don't do alone real good. Look, I know you're in there, but it's like you're not really here. You're not talking, but I know you're here. So I'm just gonna talk. You can listen. John, even when I was at the center, it was all the things that you taught me that made me wonder if it was the right place for me or not. But you didn't teach me enough. You and Corey and my parents and the Matthews and the handful of people who really care about me. So don't blow me off, John. Don't blow me off, God. I've never asked you for anything, and I never wanted to come to you like this. But don't take Turner away from me. He's not done yelling at me yet. God, you're not talking, but I know you're here. So I'm gonna talk. And you can listen. God. I don't want to be empty inside anymore.
Oh, absolutely. It isn't until the almost the final episode of Girl Meets World that Sean actually has the life that he wants and the life that he deserves. And again, characters that transcend that much depth, you don't see that in most television shows nowadays. Of course, nowadays, most television shows don't have 22 episode seasons. They have 8 or 6 or 10 or 16. Like, and I get it. Attention spans have shortened over, again, why we are doing Boy Meets World as seasons as two-parters, because we'd be here for 3 hours talking about 22 episodes. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be able to do one half. Okay, this is a good stop. This season is a perfect example with that because of the episode, you know, mix up thing with An Affair to Forget and Easy Street, ending it at episode 10 for part one made sense because, okay, Turkey Day, it's Thanksgiving. We can do a holiday thing and whatever. And then now that we're doing this episode now, we can obviously finish it off, and it's an even thing. But yeah, Cult Fiction, man. Oh, that, because I had not ever really seen the episode from beginning to end. Whew, that hit hard in so many ways. Like, you have all these role models and friends and people that do care about you, Sean, and then you find this other set of people who say they care about you, but, and again, Alan Matthews, man, if we were giving out awards for this show, that guy, I swear he was going to hit that cult leader in the hospital. Oh man, like he was in, like literally Alan was so pissed.
Yeah, he's a solid. He has to play the dad character for Sean as well, because I mean his dad hasn't died yet in the show, and
no, but he's still not around.
Yeah.
So yeah. So
he's nowhere to be seen, and he does what needs to be done.
Yeah. And then the season finale, Learning to Fly, aired May 2nd, 1997. Eric invites Corey and his friends to come with him to a potential college. However, once Corey finds out that Topanga isn't coming, he gets upset. But a sexy college girl named Mary Beth offers to give him the fun he was hoping to have with Topanga. Meanwhile, Eric's doubt that any real college will accept him leads him to consider staying at a surfer school. Will they be able to walk away from a sure thing, or will they throw away everything they've worked hard to keep? Guest stars Bonnie Bartlett as Dean of Admissions. So this episode is the episode where... Oh, God, I forget her damn character name. But basically, season 4, episode 22 is the episode where Bonnie Bartlett, wife of William Daniels, comes into the series and plays an amazing, amazing character as the Dean of Admissions to the college that they all end up going to.
I'm sorry, Eric. Your interview was 2 days ago. You didn't show up. You didn't even notify us. Now, if you'll excuse me, there are other applicants who were responsible enough to show up at their scheduled time. I'm sorry.
I was scared.
I'm not here to listen to excuses.
It's not an excuse. It's how I felt. I mean, I'm still scared now, but not getting into college has determined who I am for too long, and I just want to make sure I go to the right school.
Well, what makes you think that this is the right school for you?
Look, I need Pembroke, okay? All my life I've heard about how much potential I have and what I'm capable of, and I used to think it wasn't much, but now I do. And I just want to make sure I go to the right school. I want to see what my potential is. I don't want to go to some school that won't test that. I want to go here.
You had your chance, Eric.
No! Pembroke is my chance. You're supposed to accept people that want to learn and study and grow. And if you don't, then this school isn't living up to its potential. I want my interview.
Well, I think you just had it.
I didn't realize that. So Bonnie Bartlett is married to William Daniels.
Yes.
That's funny that. Yeah. Because eventually she marries Feeney, doesn't she?
Yep. I mentioned this to you off air. So William Daniels and Bonnie Bartlett. William was born March 31st, 1927. In Brooklyn, New York. Bonnie was born in 1929, so he's 2 years older than her, but they have been married since 1951. They've been married 71 years. And every show that they have been in together, they have been a married couple together.
Which, honestly, that's kind of cool, because you don't see that happen often. And usually, like, those people don't stay together very long.
And William Daniels, yes, Mr. Feeney. Absolutely love Mr. Feeney. But for me, you weren't even born. I was between ages 2 and 6, and you weren't even born yet. He was the voice of Kit in Knight Rider. And oh, my God.
As Michael would say, thanks, pal.
To have this guy be two of the most influential voices and characters in my life is just amazing. And I would love the opportunity to talk to him. Just to talk to him. I don't want to really interview him. I don't want to, like, I just want to have a conversation with William Daniels. That's all I want, is just to talk to the guy and just tell him, thank you.
Mr. Matthews. Miss Lawrence. No, this isn't the classroom, Mr. Matthews, as you were. Even though this isn't the classroom at the moment, would you mind if I taught you a lesson anyway?
Please.
Believe it or not, There was a time in my life when I cared for someone as deeply as you two care for each other now.
You believe we love each other?
And for no reason I understood, my wife was taken from me, and I haven't been so deeply in love since.
Feeny believes we love each other.
I believe that when you find love, you hold on to it and cherish it, because there is nothing finer, and it may never come again. And that, my dears, is the most important thing that I could teach you.
So yeah, Boy Meets World season 4, it wasn't as cliffhanger-y as I thought it was going to be. I know it's a comedy series. I know it's a TGIF series. I felt that some of the past seasons at this point kind of left things on a like cliffhanger-y type thing because, hello, it's TGIF, and when their seasons used to stop, they used to like you got to wait the whole summer and watch reruns to come back in the fall to see what happens to Corey and Sean and whatever. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It just, I was expecting something a little bit different, but because this show is what this show is, it's really cool that they can do what they did. You know, to do this. And again, they are all on a path. This second half of this season shows us how each of these characters feel, how each of them are growing, and how the people around them are growing. Like I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I'll be saying it until all the way up until the end. We end with Girl Meets World. Holy crap. The parents are amazing. Not just Alan and Amy, but like Aunt Prue. She was only there for a couple of episodes, or at least one episode for this season so far. But like, okay, we now have someone in Philadelphia that is a relative of Topanga's that the parents are fine with her staying with her. So, you know, they don't have to do the whole long distance thing. You know, and Amy and Alan, just what they point out and what they do and the lessons that they are teaching Corey, Sean, Eric, Morgan, all that stuff. It's just so good. What else would you like to say about season 4?
I don't know. I felt like it was starting to come into its own. I really did. I really enjoyed all of the back and forth, all of the differences, all of the things that they kind of added in there that weren't really, you know, it didn't really highlight a lot of their personalities. You got more of the meshing with Topanga. You got more of the meshing with Sean, you know, Feeny trying to build him up and Alan trying to build him up. You get more of Alan playing a larger dad like role, protecting the youngsters. You get just a lot of evolution in various characters.
Yeah, absolutely. And this episode or this season, this second half of this fourth season has two of the clips that they use in Girl Meets World. They have the yip, 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 yip. Oh, that's interesting. In my class, Mr. Hunter does the yipping.
Yeah.
And then obviously the whole chick like me thing with the library, like they flashed back to that a couple of times in Girl Meets World. And it's just refreshing watching a show that is so emotional on every level for every character. Amy and Alan are not throwaway parents. They're not just there to be the parental figures. They also, and we've explored this in past seasons, when they've gone on dates or gone to do things with each other and things like that. This whole thing with Eric and the store and, you know, going back and taking his SATs and getting to the point of he might actually be in the struggle of deciding what college to go to or what college might even accept him. And that whole scene with him and the dean, with Bonnie Bartlett doing the whole, you know, his whole speech. And at the end of it, she's like, okay, are you done? He goes, yeah, I just wish you would, you know, take my acceptance letter. And she said, I think you just gave it to me. You know, so I absolutely love where this show's going. And even though I do remember season 6 and more so season 7 like the back of my hand, it's been a while since that show was on Disney Channel when it first got put back on the air that I had seen it. So, you know, I'm still going into it fresh, but I'm still very much looking forward to it because I thought at this point, and I knew Tommy obviously hadn't happened yet, but when does Angela show up? Is it when they're in college?
It's when they're in college.
Okay, that's fine. It's fine. I just thought it was a little earlier. Like, I thought it was senior year of high school or something. Like, she moved in or whatever. But I know now that it is college. And yeah, it's super fun, folks. I love doing this podcast because it gives both of us a relaxing chance to, even though I know I'm talking more than you, because lately, I've had this as soon as I open my mouth, I don't know what my brain's going to throw out my mouth because I have this unending consciousness just talking. Talk, 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 talk. Somebody tell me to shut up, please.
Shut up. Shut up.
Seriously. So if any, you know, like I say this in other shows, but this show specifically, because I know I don't promote it as much as I should, and I'm going to start doing that. But anyone who is listening to this show, what are your thoughts so far on the first 4 seasons of Boy Meets World? How do you like the characters? Is there anything that we missed that we need to talk about? That kind of thing. You can always comment and whatever else on the website or send us email. Things like that. Oh, boy. Anything else you want to say on the second half or overall in total of season 4?
No, I really enjoyed the direction it went. I really enjoyed it as a whole, and I'm looking forward to more.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. So we're going to take a little quick break for some ads and some other stuff, and we will come back to close the show after this.
How could someone as sweet and honest as you get mixed up with one of Sean's evil schemes?
Because of this. Why don't I show you to your suite and then we can map out your day?
Yeah, buy yourself some heels.
It's a living.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film, Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kit?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving.
One of the primary themes of ToyCast is that we focus on times past. We are who we are today because of the nostalgic memories and experiences from our childhood. Obviously, we wouldn't be doing this podcast if it weren't for the toys that make us so addicted to nostalgia. Times Past Collectibles in Chicago, Illinois is your primary go-to collectibles store to reclaim the toys that drove those memories and experiences. Specializing in action figures from all of your favorite toy lines like Star Wars, G.I. Joe, He-Man, Transformers, Silverhawks, Ghostbusters, TMNT, Mask, and more. Get your dose of nostalgia with a shop run by collectors for collectors. Whether you are looking for loose G.I. Joe, Ice Cream Soldier, a packaged Leonardo, recent Star Wars Black Series figures, or an AFA-graded Boba Fett, Times Past Collectibles is bringing you back to your childhood. Visit the shop at 1450 North Ashland Ave in Chicago, just 2 blocks south of Ashland and North Ave. Call the shop at 847-830-1031 or email timespastcollectibles1982@gmail.com. You can also find them on Facebook. Just search Times Past Collectibles because, folks, it's past time that you get your collectibles.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Yay! Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at transmissionspodcast.com.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing. Car, car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Chocolate mint?
Right on your pillow.
She your girl?
Sure is.
Mr. Lucky.
I know.
All right, we are back. Boy Meets World. Season 4 is in the books. Season 5 is up next. Part 1. And like I said, that's the first 10 or 11 episodes of Season 5. I do not have it in front of me right now. Steve, what do you got going on in your world right now?
Well, working on customized figures, working on a couple of leads for review content and interviews for All Things Transformers and ToyCast. So we shall see what that brings.
Awesome, awesome. I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff, folks. I don't have a schedule anymore. I just can't. I get it done and I publish it whenever I get it done and publish it. So between Podcaster Meets World, GeekCast Radio, All Things Transformers, ToyCast, The Pull Bag, whatever other shows that I've produced in the past or in the future, I don't know. Thank you for joining us here on Podcaster Meets World. There are several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. I really would like some email for this show. If you guys and gals and people are listening to the sound of our voices and you like hearing us talk about Boy Meets World, let us know and let us know what you think about the show. You can follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network. I am at TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter, sir?
At SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. Join us next time when we will be discussing Boy Meets World Season 5, Part 1. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron.
Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in next time here on Podcaster Meets World.
Okay, we did it. The upstairs is in a shambles, and every dish Feeny owns is in the sink. Now we get caught, and I am at peace, because without punishment, my world loses both form and meaning.
You were one of those kids that enjoyed getting spanked, weren't you?
I always deserved it.
Made us feel so welcome, we all tidied up after ourselves.
What?
Oh, and Nona did all the dirty dishes.
We're the Timmers.
Don't you know it's us?
Well, forget it, Corey. The universe cares jack about us.
John, I'm not comfortable with this. You know, I don't feel right. I mean, in the old days, we'd be standing here patting ourselves on the back, and your eyes would roll towards the door. Like that, because the doorknob would be turning. Like that, and the door would open and Feeny would be standing there.
Ah! Ah, the Messrs. Matthews and Hunter.
The universe still cares about us.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Last, my overnight bag. It's in the cab. I'll be right back.